hope. Put your own definition to that. I like watching people. I just put the word hope, and people started putting the scriptures that follow with that and stuff, and it causes us to think a lot of things because we're living in a society that feels hopeless, and that is so weird because we have more hope than most people. Amen. I've been in a lot of places where I felt hopeless. And I look around, I think, man, you know, where do you go from here? But the people living there have hope. So it's the hope is not in your surroundings. The hope is in your perspective and what you choose to look at. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When we talk about hope, you know, a lot of us feel like hope somehow has to be created. You ever use the term, I don't want to get my hopes up? What is that? It's the fear of disappointment. If you don't want to get your hopes up, it's because you have a fear of disappointment. It's afraid that it won't work out. You ever heard people say, I won't believe it till I see it? Yeah, have you ever said that? Yeah. You know, there's this thing about hope that we're almost afraid of hope. Because if we allow ourselves to hope, there's a possibility that things won't work out. And then we'll feel even worse. And so as a society, we have... Maybe not we, but hopefully not we, but as a society, America has become very cynical and sarcastic. And the reason is because we have a hard time believing that something good is going to happen. Why do we have a hard time believing that? Because we don't want to be disappointed. Because disappointment hurts. And it hurts even more when you have unreal expectations of what your life is supposed to be. If you have unreal expectations that you're never supposed to feel any pain, you're going to be devastated by the fact that you feel pain. Amen? I got news for you. You're going to feel pain in a lot of ways. You're going to feel it in your soul, and you're going to feel it in your body. Amen. Every day I feel pain in some way. How many can agree with me? And it's not because I'm getting older. This gray hair has nothing to do with it. Well, maybe a little bit, but every day I feel pain somehow. I mean, it stuff hurts. When you smash a hand, it hurts. Well, if I have the unreal expectation that I should never have to feel pain, then I'm going to do everything that I can to avoid feeling pain, and then I'm going to be just totally devastated when pain comes. Because in my belief system, that's not supposed to happen, and if it does happen, I'm being done wrong somehow. Okay? One of the reasons that America has become hopeless is because we have an unrealistic expectation of what our lives are supposed to be, and because of that, we feel continually let down. And we feel like everything should be better. How many understand that? I know I'm talking where we're living because we're all getting real quiet. We expect that everything should work out for us all the time. I got to tell you something, everything's not going to work out for you all the time. If you have the expectation that everything's going to go good for you all the time, you're going to be disappointed, and you're going to end up a person that is hopeless because your hope was based on something that does not exist. One of the reasons that our hope is crushed so often is because we don't put our hope in the right place. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, it says, "Now abide." Everybody say abide. faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, it didn't say now comes and goes once in a while, faith, hope, and love. Paul said, and now these things abide. They exist continually. I like the way that's stated. It's a continual existence. Hope does not come and go because your circumstances are good or bad. Hope is ever present. Amen. Faith is ever present. Love is ever present. It just depends on what you choose to flow in, whether you're experiencing those things or whether you're not experiencing those things. You got to be hooked up right in order to get the flow. Amen. I work with electricity practically every day of my life, and even though I know how to make it work, I don't understand it. Even if you take electrical theory, you don't understand it. Because electricity is not produced, electricity is simply manifested. Because it's ever existent. We don't create electricity, we simply manifest the presence of it. It exists all the time. It's existing right now. There's electricity all around us. There's a magnetic presence of positive and negative all around us all the time. If I rub my foot on this carpet a little bit and touch something metal, something that's grounded, there's going to be a spark. I spark all the time. I don't know. I guess I've been shocked so many times that I get shocked on everything. I can't get in and out of a car without getting shocked. Just snap, pow, boom. You know, it's like I somehow conduct electricity. And so I'm always, you know, and I'm, the fact that I work around it so much and I've been hit by it so many times, it's invisible. You can't see it coming. You don't know it exists until all of a sudden it manifests. And then you know it exists. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When I was young working with my dad, I was just a kid, and I was sitting on top of a ladder making up some light switches or some lights in the ceiling. And we had this Finnish carpenter that thought that, you know, he just do whatever he wants and nobody else's business, and was working on these motels, and I was on the third floor, and I was sitting on top of a ladder making up this, and he decided he needed power in his room, so where he was working, so he went down and just started flipping all the breakers on in the breaker panel. And I'm up there hanging on these wires, and everything's great. Everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, electricity manifested. Next thing I know, I'm falling off the ladder backwards and hitting the floor because something shook me real hard. And then the next thing I know, I'm heading down with a hammer trying to find this finished contractor because I'm going to teach him a lesson. And my dad caught me and told me to go back to work. He'd take care of it. It manifests, and yet it's not there. How can it manifest if it's not there? Have you ever wondered where electricity goes when you use it? It doesn't go anywhere because it's ever existent. You can't use up electricity. You just simply manifest electricity. You capture electricity. You harness electricity, but you can never use up electricity. So when you use electricity, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't disappear. It just simply becomes part of the atmosphere again because that's what it is. It's atmosphere. And it exists because our world, the way our world is made, it produces electricity. Positive and negative, when there's storms moving in, and lightning. Where does lightning come from? Did lightning exist before it existed? Lightning just simply manifests, is the manifestation of a positive and a negative connecting, and we see the manifestation of it. It actually connects before we ever see the manifestation of it. We just see the light that comes from it. It's a positive and a negative, and next thing you know, there is fire, and you don't want to be between that, because to measure the power in a lightning strike is really difficult. It is amazing how much power is in that. Me and Sister Betty was on our Harley one time in a storm down in Arkansas in a town, and we were going through there, and it was storming, it was lightning, it was pouring rain, and all of a sudden lightning hits a pole right next to us, and I watched the flame go down the anchor wire into the ground. The blue flame just shoom, right into the ground, and it was gone, thankfully. Where did it go? Did it burn up? Was it used up? No, it still existed, but we couldn't see it. To understand the things of God, to understand faith, hope, and love, where Paul is saying here, now abides, means that it is ever existent. It's just that we don't see the manifestation until we hook up to the right thing, and then we see the manifestation of faith, hope, and love. Amen. But it doesn't come and go. It's ever present. It's always here. Hope never fades. It's always present. But it depends on what we're hooking up to, whether it's manifesting in our life or not. Hope is not situational. Hope is a presence. Hope is an atmosphere that you live in. And an atmosphere that you live in does not have anything to do with what's going on. What's happening on the earth does not change the atmosphere that we dwell in. Amen. It's still there. Atmosphere. There's a lot of things we don't understand about our planet, and even though we've had some really smart people give us theories that we preach as truth today, we still don't know that that's really how it works. Amen. Gravity. How many believe you actually know what gravity is and how it works? I feel it when I fall from something. And yet, is it gravity or is it atmospheric pressure? See, density determines weight. So is it atmospheric pressure or is it gravity? Is it a gravitational pull, or is your density, is the weight put on you determined by your density? Why is it that when you get in water, all of a sudden gravity doesn't have as much power over you? Is it because gravity doesn't have as much power over you, or is it because you become insulated from the atmosphere? Why is it that the further down you go, the more weight you gain? Is it because gravity becomes stronger, or is it because the atmosphere of the pressure of the water starts pushing on you harder because of the density? Why is it that a feather floats down slower than a rock of the same size? I'm just asking you questions. See, we think we know all this stuff, and we think we understand it because somebody said, hey, an apple fell and hit me in the head, therefore there is gravity. Newton's law of gravity. Where do we get that stuff? How do we believe that? How do we know that that exists? How do we know that the earth is spinning at a certain amount of speed? Did somebody go out with a radar gun in space and hold on it and say, okay, this is how fast the earth's spinning? You say, well, no, they measure by the rotations, you know. But why is it, if the earth is actually spinning, why is it that the stars are always in the same place? Huh? Come on, somebody. Does the earth revolve around the sun, or does the sun revolve around the earth? We'll say, well, we know all this stuff. No, we don't. It's theories that have been projected as truth. I want you to understand something. We as Christians have a lot of theories that get us in trouble because we don't understand the source and we don't understand the Creator, and we try to develop theories to explain the Creator when He is always changing our theories. Every time you think you know how God works, He's going to change. It's just like electricity. We think we know electricity, and yet it confuses us a lot of times, and it does unexpected things. You know? It'll jump out and get you sometimes, and other times it won't. When you get within 10, these big transit lines, you know, the big, huge power lines that go across country and feed things, you get within 10 feet of those things, and you feel the presence of electricity. The rest of the time, it just looks like gray metal lines. You don't, there's nothing there. But when you get close enough, then the hair on your body begins to stand up, and you begin to feel the magnetic current of electricity, and then if you get even closer, you begin to experience the manifestation of electricity. How close you get determines the level of manifestation. So many times as people of God, we get close enough to feel the hair stand up on our body, but we don't get close enough for the manifestation. Come on, somebody. We think feeling the presence of God is the manifestation. No, we've just gotten close enough to where we can experience and know that it's real. But when we get even closer, then we start seeing the product that is created by the manifestation. Hallelujah. Ever existing. It doesn't come, it doesn't go, you can't use it up. Fossil fuels are not ever existing. We're burning them up. And one of these days we're going to run out of oil. Where did oil come from? Well, they say it comes from vegetation that's rotted and all that kind of stuff. But I got to ask you something. How come it's over 1,000 feet in the earth? How did vegetation get down there? I've worked in oil fields. I know what this stuff is. Some of it is really close to the ground. I mean, well, I've worked on oil wells that was this 200-300 feet deep. And then you go other places and it's way down there. Well, how did vegetation get down there and rot? Where did it come from? We don't know. We think we know, but we don't know. Was it the dinosaurs? Are we running our cars on dinosaurs? What's left over? I don't know. When you're worshiping and serving God, things can get confusing. Just like when you start asking questions about really where did things come from? You know, were we the first people on this planet? Or were there generations before us? You know, was there people existent before the dinosaurs? You know, they keep coming up these stories about in coal, they keep finding tools that was made hundreds of feet into the ground and tools that were made by a human being or some person or something, and they can't explain it and they don't know where it come from. And we don't know. We'd say, well, in Genesis it says that we were the first people. It doesn't say that. It says the earth was without form and void. How do you know that something cataclysmic didn't happen? And you know, the idiots that was before us set off an atomic bomb or something, you know? And God had to try to fix this thing. The one thing I do know, we did not come from a mass of goo that all of a sudden come together and begin to form cells and come out of the water and grew a tail and began to swing from trees and then fell and broke his tail off, grabbed a briefcase and became a man. We were created in the image of God. Created in the image of God. We might have evolved somewhat. I don't know. I know that we are continuing to evolve and we continue to change. In my dad's side of the family, everybody was dark-headed until my grandpa married a red-headed woman. And now almost all the kids and grandkids are blonde-headed. We have evolved. Praise God, blonde rules today. I want you to know that. Blondes rule. Where did all that come from? Every blue-eyed person can be traced back to the same place up in Norway and up in that area. Every person has blue eyes has a gene that came from the very same place in Norwegian area. Scandinavia, thank you. Green-eyed people were simply created by God. It didn't come from a place. Green-eyed people, you know. We are amazing people. Our eyes can change. Our eyes can change from blue to green to gray, depending on what mood we're in. I've been told that when I'm upset, my eyes are very, very bright green. So if my eyes are really, really bright green, you might want to take a couple of steps back and just see just what's going on. I don't know. That's what I've been told. But we don't understand the things that surround us. We don't understand how electricity works. We don't understand how God works. But as I've grown in this thing, I begin to realize that the power of God is really a lot like electricity. There is, how many remember that series of messages I did with all the wires and the cables and, you know, all that kind of stuff, explaining all that stuff? You know, it really helps us. There is a principle. When you have a hot wire in the ground and they come together, you have fire. You have a short, what we call a short, and it creates fire. It burns stuff up. That's how a welder, when you're hooking up power for a welder, you use two hot leads and one ground wire. The reason is because all you want to happen is for electricity to short out at the end of that welding rod. And that welding rod is made in such a way to where it burns up and melts the metal, and it creates melts the metal together. But it's a destructive force if it's not used right, because it's a ground and a hot lead and it's coming together. But when you have things that you want to produce energy with, a motor or lights or anything else, electronics, you have to have this thing called a neutral wire. And it's almost always the white wire, you know, color white, because it's neutral, thus white. That's deep. Except for in my line of work, you find out that several years ago, a lot of people didn't understand color codes and they didn't really care. Because I have worked on buildings where the green wire was the hot wire. Imagine my surprise. Green is not used for electricity, but in some cases it is. So you have to really watch things like that. Okay? When you have a hot wire and a neutral wire, that neutral wire is the return. The neutral in this building, every receptacle, every light has a hot wire and a neutral wire. That hot wire is the supply of electricity. The neutral wire is the wire, is the return all the way back to the source. That neutral wire, every receptacle in this building is connected all the way back to the panels, all the way back to the power, and goes all the way back to where they're producing the electricity, whether it be a dam or a coal-burning unit, whatever it is, where the electricity is being produced, and that is what creates what we call flow, voltage, flow. Voltage is the flow. Amperage is the power behind the flow. And so when it's flowing, then it makes things run. It makes lights burn. The reason these lights are burning right now is because the electricity, the hot wire, is running through the element in that light and going back to the neutral wire, and it creates flow. Electricity flows through it. If there was only a ground wire up there, these lights would explode, and it'd be destructive. How many times have the people of God prayed for a move of God, but they didn't have the right connection, and it was just a powerful explosion, but didn't amount to anything? If we don't have connection, all it does is cause problems. Amen. It might be a good show for a little bit. I mean, you can have a good show. I could put some things together today, and we could have a good show. I mean, we could burn some stuff up. Kind of like when we went to India one year, and I thought I'd bought Sister Betty a hairdryer that worked on the voltage that was in India, and I was wrong. One of the fine things you find out about foreign countries is electricity isn't nearly as monitored and controlled as what it is here. In the Philippines, they run electric wires to a certain area. They put one transformer on that area, and there might be 500 volts coming from that transformer to the first house. If you've got 120-volt stuff, it's going to burn it up. And then it keeps going and going and going. Of course, you have voltage drop, voltage drop, voltage drop, voltage drop. You get down to the last house that's hooked up to that one transformer, and you might have 100 volts or 90 volts or 50 volts because of the voltage drop. So it doesn't, you know, there's no consistency like here in the U.S. In the U.S., there's consistency because it's harnessed and it's monitored. And so I bought Sister Betty this hairdryer, and I thought, boy, it's going to work real good in India. We won't have to have all the adapters. You know, sometimes we got adapters sticking out of the wall that far with transformers and reducers, and you got it hanging out there, and you use it. And so this hairdryer was supposed to work without the little transformer on it that drops it down to the voltage that our stuff's made for. And she plugs that thing in, turns it on, and it goes, poof. I mean, it just took off whistling, just whistling. And then all of a sudden, poof, and smoke just starts rolling out of it. Brand new. I just bought it. And there it is, poof. There was no fix. It was burnt up. Why was it burnt up? Because it wasn't built for the voltage that was supplied to it. We have access to unlimited power, but if we don't get things hooked up right in our life, we're not going to have the flow of anything. It's not going to flow in your life. Feeling the presence, like we did this morning, I stand back there in the back of the church, and during the worship service this morning, I stand there praising the Lord, and all of a sudden, it's just like, I felt like I was next to those high voltage lines, because my body, I felt the presence of power all around me. And it's like, whoa, ew. I don't know if an angel walked by. You know, I know Gila walked by. I don't know if that was it. You know, got a magnetic personality, sis. I mean, there's electricity doing something right now. But when you feel that presence, when you feel that power, that just means that you're close to presence, or you're close to power. It's not good enough. We've got to go from being close to hooking up to the power in a way that it begins to flow in and out. Our connection to God. I believe that love is that neutral wire that connects us all the way back to the source. Faith and hope are the power that comes down from God that is ever present, always here, and never goes away. There is a presence. And when we have that connection of love, we're able to deal with the power that begins to flow through us, and it doesn't burn us up. Resistance causes heat. If you get plugged in to God and the presence of God begins to flow in your life and you start resisting that because of the lack of love in your life, all it's going to do is cause problems. It's going to cause heat. It's going to burn you out. Because there's pressure without flow. Anytime there's pressure without flow, it creates heat and it burns things up. The more demand you try to put through a small wire, and I've talked to you about this before, extension cords are some of the most dangerous things that there is because they put too small a wire on these things. These heaters, they do not put the right size wire on those. They cut corners. They put small wire on there. And that's why there's the demand, that heater is calling for a lot of flow. But it can't get that much flow through that little tiny wire. And so the place where it hooks in, it starts heating at the where it's plugged in, and it starts heating where it's connected to the heater, and the pressure begins to build, the amperage begins to go up because there's not enough flow. If there was flow, then there wouldn't be problems. There wouldn't be pressure. But it begins to build up pressure, and because that pressure starts getting hotter and hotter, it turns it into a heater instead of a functioning flow. And it burns it up. How many times has the church in our lifetime got hooked up to the power of God? And because there wasn't enough flow in our lives, the pressure burned us out. Amen. Love is what causes us to be connected to God. You know what the strange thing is about that neutral wire? This is something I don't understand. I can't get it in my head, even though I hook it up and work with it every day. The strange thing about that neutral wire, it has to be the same size as the hot wire. You can't put a smaller neutral wire than a hot wire. It has to be exactly the same size. And yet when there's flow going through that, you can test the hot wire 120 volts. Go from the ground to the neutral wire, you got 1.4 volts. And yet 120 volts is running through that and flowing back to the source. Why? I don't understand. I thought maybe you'd tell me. They say that that's how electricity flows back to the source, and yet there's very little electricity flowing on that wire, and yet it has to be the same size as the hot wire, and if it's not hooked up, there is no flow. Where does the electricity go? I use that illustration because I want to show you this. What flows back to God from us is so minuscule compared to what flows to us from God. And it doesn't just disappear. It abides. There is an ever-abiding presence of God, just like electricity abides in this earth all the time. We don't produce electricity. It's in the atmosphere, and all you have to do is take a magnetic current. In a generator, you have magnetic currents. You got positive and negative, and when you start spinning that thing, it creates static, and that static flows through the wires and creates electricity, and as it flows through that's the big dam out here. It has those big turbines in it, and the water flows through that and turns those turbines. On top of those turbines are these big generators where there's a magnetic current that is produced in that, and it creates a static electricity, and then the static is captured and runs through these wires and runs through transformers, and it powers everything. We don't produce it. We just simply manifest it. The reason you pay electric companies isn't because they produce electricity. It's because they capture it and monitor and regulate it so that it doesn't burn up what's in your house. You could build your own utility company if you knew how. The only thing you got to have is magnetic current and something some force to turn to make magnetic current. If you've got a lot of kids, get a bicycle, put a generator on it, you know, and make them take turns, you know, pedaling, and you got electricity. This earth is made with a continuous electric current. You cannot use it up. When we use electricity, we haven't used it up. We've just simply manifested it. It's the same way with the presence of God. It exists all the time. Faith, hope, and love is ever existent all around us, all the time. We just got to learn how to tap into it and let it manifest in our lives. Praise God. Amen. Very simple message, but you'll remember it, won't you? Amen. I could get up here and preach a lot of theology, ideology, and hermeneutics and homiletics and all that kind of stuff, and you'd go away thinking, well, you know, that was interesting, but if you can't apply it, what good is it? Amen. I'm going to let God produce the power. I just want to learn how to apply it. I want to learn how to put it to work. Amen. Praise God. How many want to be a conductor of the presence of God?
Yes.
A conductor of the a flow of the presence of God. Oh, praise God. That's what we need to be, as a conductor of the presence of God. I was in a church one time, and there was this one lady that every time, she was a little old skinny gal, and every time she come out of the prayer room before church, it was in a revival, and this little lady would come out of the prayer room, and she would literally be so hot. I don't think she's going through menopause, but she would literally be so hot that you could feel the heat radiating off her. I would just, you know, it's like, she'd walk by me and I would feel this enormous heat. And it's like, good night. And I went to the pastor and I said, I didn't say this lady's hot, because in today's terminology, that don't work good. I said, have you noticed the temperature, you know, the heat that comes from that lady when she comes out of the prayer room? He said, yeah, it's kind of strange, isn't it? I said, yeah. For whatever reason, when she got in the presence of God, there was a manifestation of just heat. She didn't feel it. She wasn't burning up. She wasn't going, how many seen that? She didn't feel it, but you could sense it. It was the presence of God. That was the existence. If we could learn to let love connect us to God in a proper way, to where we could flow, the only reason that love, the power stops flowing in our life, is because love gets grieved. If we got that connection back to God, there's unlimited power coming from God. And when we have that and we touch somebody, we come in contact with somebody, there's going to be a flow. And they're going to get to experience the flow. They become the conductor. They get in the middle of it. They get between ground and power. And they begin to experience the presence of God. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hope never goes away. We just shut off to it. We just break the connection, because our circumstances said that we've been disappointed. And yet hope is not about your circumstances, and hope is not about how things are going in your life. Hope is an ever-present existence of the energy and anticipation of God. The very word hope means an earnest anticipation of good. It's a mindset. Stand with me if you would. I wrote this yesterday. I don't want to read it to you. These are phrases that last week were bouncing around in my mind. Coming up from my spirit, just bouncing around my mind. I kept thinking, what is this? It's just statements. It just kept coming. And just different statements at different times. And I kept thinking, what is this? You know, what are these statements? Because, you know, I didn't associate with a lot of them. I didn't understand them. And Friday night, late Friday night, I thought, well, I'm just gonna write down these statements that keep coming in my mind. And as I started writing them down, it became a big statement. And this is the flow of God. This is what life does to you. But it's the flow of God. A ravaged heart loves separation. Life impacted, downward digression. Hope deferred, the languishing soul. Truth in pieces, too well we know. A gathering force, hidden from sight. Revealed in darkness, a penetrating light. Raised from the dead, life to create. A Savior who knows. Love incarnate, redemption complete, a life reborn. You know, it starts off talking about what life does to us. But in the middle of that, all of a sudden, this force begins to gather and light begins to manifest in our life. And that's what happens when we say that our life has been changed, our life has been saved, that we've been redeemed. And today I want you to know something. Redemption, regeneration, change is as close as you connecting to the right source and starting to connect with what's around you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray today, God, that you just speak to the hearts and lives of people in this house. Lord, make us a conduit, a conductor of your presence. Father, I pray that hope would just simply become a manifestation of who we're connected to. God, that it not be something that comes and flows in and out of our life, Lord God, but it become a substance that abides. Father, and I just pray that hope would just simply abide in our lives, Lord God. And we just receive that because it is ever present. Faith is ever present. Love is ever present in our lives, all around us. And Father, I just receive that today. I receive your power. Lord, we receive your power in this place. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we believe in you. We believe in your power. We believe in your presence. Lord, there's a lot of things we don't understand. There's a lot of questions we can't answer. But Lord, this one thing we do understand is that you are ever present and you are here. And you want to manifest yourself in our lives. Lord, we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. If you have a need today, I just want you to do something right now. If you have a physical need, if you know the spot, then lay your hands on that. If it's affecting your whole body, then just wrap yourself up in your own arms today and say this with me. Dear Jesus, I know you abide. I know you're here right now. I receive from you. You exist. All the time.
All the time.
And I just ask the manifestation. The presence of your power. To manifest in me right now.
Manifest in me right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for each person, Lord God, that needs a change in their life, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, that the change is in your presence. The change, Lord God, is receiving from you. Lord, I thank you, God, for the answers that need to come in people's lives, for finances, for places, for things, Lord God, that are just necessary in our lives, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the manifestation, Lord God, that they manifest. It's there, it's present. We just ask it to manifest in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Lord, more than anything, God, I ask that hope would just become an existent presence in every heart in this house today, Lord God. Father, that we not determine our hope based on our experiences or based on our surroundings, but God, we determine our hope by the ever-present existence of hope, your presence. And Lord, we give you praise for that today. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. As we worship today, I just want you to ask God to help you to get a new perspective. Lord, change our life. Change how we view ourselves. Change what we see. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Open your heart right now and just begin to worship God. Lift your hand and begin to worship God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.